Hello, we are Terra Nova, a horror podcast. We're hosted by Kendall and Jackie. And here we talk about everything, well, horror. And this podcast is specifically for you, the horror fans, and also the non-horror fans. If you're too scared to watch the movies, it's fine. We talk about it, we discuss it, we dissect it, we laugh about it, talk about the good, the bad, the tropes, and new episodes are launched every Monday.
And follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Terra Nova Pod. And leave a review, 5 stars, of course, on no platforms that you listen. And last but not least, tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
And tell your dog, too. Cool down. Hello. Hi.
What's going on, Jackie? How's everything?
Fine. Dying inside. When am I not dying inside?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. I was about to say that, too. I'm like, every episode, you'd be like, I'm just getting slowly and closer to the Grim Reaper. So I don't know why, but that seemed to be your thing.
I love death. But, yeah, so I'm excited for this episode because this is an episode I've been dying to do. And if anyone's wondering, well, how would you guys done it? It's Kendall's fault, okay? I'm going to blame Kendall. Because I was like, when are we going to do it? I don't know. So.
You know what? I'll take that on the chin. We were supposed to do this movie during Black History Month. But I was like, nah, let's put it off. We could do it another time. Let's let some other black movies shine. But, you know, we brought some stuff into people's lives. So we finally get around to this. But, you know, Black History Month was dope.
About time. Just saying.
Well, that was the most epic pause. Okay. But aside from that, before we get to the movie for this week, we go ahead and bring in our guests. We have some guests this week, which I'm super excited about. We talk to them on Instagram all the time. We finally get to see them live. We actually do a video for once. That's really fun. It's a guest podcast. So happy they're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Girl That's Scary Podcast. They're here with us. Hey, what's up? What's going on, ladies? How's everything?
Hey. Oh, my God. Cat has to sing everything. Hello, it's Jazz, 40-ounce connoisseur, and
it's Cat Daddy, and clearly I'm cutting the fuck up already.
I love it.
We're doing good. We're having a great time. It's Friday, okay? For some of y'all, it's payday, okay?
I'm alive, like Jackie.
And so. Healthy. Mm-hmm. And it's just a whole, mm-hmm. It's been a really good week. We might be having the best week ever, but I don't know. Some other week might get top. I say we're going to have another really good week, but this week was popping, okay?
I just have my hands up. It's clearly the universe. Thanks. Very thankful. And truly, it could just go up from there because, yeah.
That sounds good. The universe does seem to be in order. Jackie kept mentioning, what was it, Mercury retrograde. She mentioned every other damn day, so I'm happy we finally out of
Mercury
that.
Mercury being microgrades, and I'd be tired.
Yes. Yes. We don't appreciate it. We're finally done. The internet's safe. Connection is safe. Miscommunication is done. So thank you. Until next year, then we're just like, oh, God, here we go. This bitch again.
You're right. Well, tell people a little bit about your podcast.
Well, we're the Girl That's Scary Podcast. We talk about horror and sci-fi and all that fun stuff in between. And we come out every Thursday, and we really just be chopping the fuck up about like a random movie title or necessarily like a topic that we just cover an array of things at one time.
Yeah, like subgenres or a whole franchise or some shenanigans like that. And we've done like top five. We have some other ideas that we are going to throw into the mix as we go. But anything horror, we are down for the shit, okay? Sharknado, Exorcist, Abby.
Anything with an ass.
Sugar Hill. What y'all trying to watch?
Because somebody's going to say 180 Days of Solo, and I'm going to punch him in the face.
Yeah, I ain't watching that, though. I'm good.
Okay. Yes. Yes. We're not here for, like, crazy torture. Like, it's the craziest shocker horror film that I think I told you about this years ago, and I told you all the shit they had them do, and you were just like, oh my God, it's terrible. I'm like, that's awful. I think the director was killed for it, too. They killed him. They're like, you're the devil, and they killed him.
Hold up, seriously? The director was killed for making this movie?
Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going to say nothing about that. That's the sentence.
That's a first. I thought it was bad with Homie That Made. What was the other one before Jackie? Cannibal Holocaust. He had to go on trial.
Well, that's what he did. Dude.
Yeah, because they thought the people were missing.
And also, he killed a turtle for 4 minutes.
They should have threw him in prison. There was no point.
He got fined. What was the reason?
Yeah, word. What the fuck? But this dude got killed. You know what? Yeah, you know, I'm detouring. We're going to get to that one eventually. We might have to bring y'all back to talk about that because that sounds crazy. We ain't going to do that movie because I don't feel like watching all that torture. But that's definitely something worth talking about.
Directly, I ain't watching it. I'm not watching. I'll read a transcript. I'll read a transcript of it, but I'm not watching.
You don't got
it,
to. So. I went through that. You ain't got to go through that.
Mm-mm. I do not blame you. But that aside, tell our audience, like, what kind of got you ladies into horror? Like, what made you even start your podcast? Give us all the goods.
Okay. Well, our stories are kind of similar in terms of, like, how what got us into horror. Our moms really were the first ones that put us on. Like, my mom is, horror is yes for her, but she's also like, it has to have a happy ending. Whatever, girl. But Nightmare on Elm Street, that's us, that's our bag. What about you?
My mom was big into horror, got me into horror, definitely the slasher scenes, Friday the 13th. We mm-hmm. were Chucky. My mom took me to the theater to scream. And I remember holding this big ass movie cup with both hands just sitting in the front. Like, oh my God, they killed Drew Barrymore. Holy shit. Just like, wow. And I'm like, every time I think about this, I'm like, Mom, I was in first grade. I should not have been in that theater, but I was there having the time of my life. My mom and then my brother was literally Ghostface that Halloween, that following Halloween. Because, you know, everybody was Ghostface, with the Ghostface mask and the fake knives and the bloody mask or whatever. But she fueled our horror stuff. She would take us to the movie, took us to see House of a Thousand Corpses. Out of pocket. I was, what, 12? Shouldn't have been in that theater. Took me anyway.
Yeah, that's a lot for 12
years. She was like, let's go. Let's get it. Let's get it. And I was like, yeah, let's get it. So definitely letting us watch whatever.
Yeah.
And Kat. Okay. So I had a podcast with my homegirls. We're going to link up. And Kat was the intro. Okay. And she guested on the show all the time. And then she was like, I'm trying to do a little podcast too. With horror, you trying to do the podcast? And I was like, yeah, nigga, what's up? I'm trying to do the podcast. Because we both, it's horror. Like, I can't get enough. What do you, we'll never run out of stuff to talk about. Never run out of stuff.
And we're always talking each other heads off, so it just made sense. I didn't know if anybody was going to listen. I literally was like, well, like, dead ass. For the first episode, we had to record that jump like 3 times to even, because I would just be like, but I'm so glad that Jazz came on this ride with me and we're doing this ride together because I'm having so much fun.
Yeah, it turned out to be a fucking roller coaster, bro. We on this bitch. Hands up.
Yes, yes. I love it. I love the story. Like, aw, I love the story.
Friendship.
Friendship is magic.
Oh, man. No, that's so cool. That's really cool. That's awesome that you guys just got together like that. Like, let's make it work. It's crazy, right? Doing this whole thing. It's awesome. It's so cool. That's amazing. So, I guess let's get into it today. The reason why everybody's here. The reason why people click play. The movie for this week is we doing is Get Out. Of course, Jordan Peele, he was in his bag on this one. But we're doing the movie Get Out. And we're going to let our guests do the summary for it.
All right. So, we are here with the summary. If you would like to take a big pot. Just go ahead and put Invasion of the Body Snatchers in that joint. You know, sprinkle a little salt, and then you go turn the heat up, okay? And put, listen, Who's Coming to Dinner? Put that in there and stir that jank up. But then you got to put it on broil for like 5 minutes so it can have a crispy edge. Then you pull it out.
I'm crying. Please. It's the visual.
Let it sit. Boom. You got to get out. So, it's just...
That sounds like some southern cooking right there. Listen.
But yeah, no, pretty much his dude, he goes to his significant other's parents' house. And of course, he's black, they're white. And you think you're going to have one set of problems, but you have an entire different set of problems. However, those problems are still linked to the first problems that we thought we were going to have. So that's it.
Short and sweet. I love it. Love it. I love it. I love it. Get into first impressions. This part I always like. So Jackie, since you been screaming my head off to do this, you can go first. First impressions for this movie, Get Out.
I saw this movie in theaters, I think a week after it first came out. I went with Armin and a couple of my other friends. And that whole theater was packed. When I first watched it, I was just like, holy shit. Because like when I first saw the trailer for it, Jordan Peele, you know, comedian. I saw that and I was like, what is this? Is this like a skit? Like how SNL made fun of the whole like Beyonce's black, people finally found out she's black and shit. And I'm just like, is this what he's doing with this film? And then I found out, no, it's a real horror film. So I watched it, you know, the week after it was released and I was just like, oh my God. Like it was so good and so frightening. Like, even now, I mean, my boyfriend's white, and sometimes I feel like, you know, when I'm surrounded by a lot of people like that, I'm just like, and I love how this film kind of pried on like a real fear. Like, it felt real, you know. It wasn't like, like, you know, like you could, your Jason's, your Michael Myers, all this stuff. Like, no, this is different. This is based on an actual fear, something that's real and something that can be real, and something that was kind of based on what actually is happening with certain things. And I think what he did was amazing, because, I mean, he brought up so many conversations with this film, like so many that's still going on today. And people still go back to Get Out for what he did, because it was just like revolutionary. And I watched it twice in theaters. That's how good it was. And I still watch it, like, you know, on when it's on the TV or whatever. And it's just so good.
Cool. Well, I guess first impressions.
I saw this movie in the movie theaters twice. I saw it once in like a really quiet movie theater situation. And then I saw it in our local $5 movie. Which has all your local faves in it, so all you know how this is going. And I want y'all to know that was honestly the best experience. Like, being, I felt like we was all watching it in someone's house, and everyone was like, "Oh, girl, don't go in it!" Like, it was just amazing. I loved it. It gave me exactly what I needed. On top of the movie, it was like sprinkle a little parsley on.
Everybody saw it in theater twice. Me too, because I definitely went in there. Okay, either way, I went and saw it twice. It was great both times. It's a really good movie. It's always worth a revisit. Like Jackie said, it has a lot of conversations that it opened up, because people have this linear idea of what racism is, and they think, oh, you hate Black people outwardly and call them names, you are a racist. And that's not how racism works. It's like a pyramid. You know, there's these people at the top who are like, you know, doing all this shit that you think you associate with racism, but it's that slick shit you saying out your mouth.
Those microaggressions.
Like, and those microaggressions, even in the movie, they were heavy hitting. They weren't the soft, like, I feel like you were getting aggressive with me. When you know you call people aggressive, they weren't really being aggressive. They were just being direct with you, but they Black, so they aggressive. Or it was more like, ooh, feeling people's arm. Like, it was not on the nose, but it was enough for that people who did not experience the microaggressions would be able to be like, ooh, because I feel like they were too subtle. They were like, well, what's, you know, because people love to try to talk themselves out of the racism box. Like, I'm not racist. Listen, I'm sorry. I know that people are going to not like this, but if you are white and you grew up in America, you are racist. That's how it works. You are indoctrinated into the white supremacy. Yep. You have to unlearn it. You don't get to say, oh, I'm a nice person, so I'm not racist. That's not how it works. Well, I don't outwardly hate Black people, so I'm not racist. That's not how it works. You have to specifically look up the ways that Black people and other people of color are disenfranchised, and not just people of color, but disabled people, all these people, all these isms. You have to look at how the society is working against them. Then you have to individually stop doing the stuff that you're doing unknowingly, because a lot of people are just, you're just doing things and not thinking, but you have the luxury of not thinking. People who are in these positions do not have the luxury to, I don't have to think about that. I always have to think about racism when I step up. Everything ties into racism or misogyny or, you know, something like that. I have to think about those. I make those connections. Every time I step outside, it's double conscious. That's just what it is. And people who are blind to that think they get a pass because their intentions. And that's not, again, not how it works. You just have to unlearn it, and you got to stop being in your feelings when people are saying you're guilty of it. You have to just be like, you know what? My bad. Fix it. That's as simple as that. But people like to be in their feelings and they don't want to be called racist because they don't want to be associated with it instead of actually fixing the problem. But, you know, Jordan Peele, like, listen, you two, the ones who said you voted for Obama, you're also racist because Obama's problematic.
I could have voted for Obama a third time if I could.
Like, girl, he's problematic. Like, a lot of these Black icons, well, I love some of them, but they're problematic. So you can't, they be throwing their name out, like, smacking them down like motherfucking Pokemon cards. Like, look, bitch, I know this. I align with them. Okay, but they're a problem. So I don't understand what you mean.
I love Beyonce.
Girl, what does that mean? What does it mean? But yes, I loved it.
Yeah.
You hit the nail on the head. You really did. Honestly, episode over, guys. We can go home now. This is between all of y'all reviews, I don't even need to say nothing.
No, it's, for real. It's nice to sit back. Like, that whole explanation is so Yeah, like that explanation is so true. Like, I mean, throughout the whole entire film, again, like, seeing it again after watching it so many times, you really get those little, like, points where you're just like, oh, I noticed that. And, yeah, especially, like, when the dinner table, when they first met that the creepy brother, Jacob, he was so fucking creepy. Asking him, like, oh, so you play basketball, you play this. I'm just like, dude, the hell are you, a crackhead? Like, what's wrong with you? Wait, you take a bath? Have you taken a bath?
With your genetic makeup.
Yeah, that was wild. That was wild.
Yes, and those subtle things. Like, this is why we love doing this, because we get to revisit these movies and then revisit moments that we have missed when we first saw it and then seen it again. Like, refresh eyes. You're just like, oh, I noticed that. Like, I picked that up. And again, he's such a genius for putting those little moments that many people might not get. They may miss. And then you watch it again, you're just like, I knew it. Like, I could sense it. It's just, so true.
Yeah, he did his thing with that. Like, I mean, my first experience with the movie was in theaters as well. Like, I saw it, I think the first week it was out, I saw it. I think a week before, because I think that was back when I used to go to movie screenings. My friends would get, like, early screening tickets. So I remember it when the trailer for this movie dropped, everybody online lost their mind, which I love about Twitter, you know, especially black people on Twitter. They be excited to celebrate a W any which way black people get it. So, you know, the movie came out, the trailer came out, people went off, and I didn't even watch the whole trailer, because, you know, that's not really my thing. I like to go in and, like, just figure out what's happening. I don't want to know nothing. And all I saw was, like, all right, Jordan Peele, black lead, there's a horror movie. That's all I knew. And I was like, I'm good. I'm going to go see this. I'm going to go check this out. And seeing it in the theaters, one of the funniest things was, I remember, outside of, like, what you ladies pointed out, like, everyone in the audience, it seemed like everybody was just chilling in someone's living room, kind of having a good time. Like, the movie kind of invited that experience, especially with Rod's character, who was just like, man, you crazy. Why you doing this shit? Like, it kind of invited that experience with everyone in the room, which was really fun. But I really remember when the screen went black at the end, when it was all said and done, my friend sitting next to me, he made me laugh, because he was just like, yo, this one don't date white women. And mad people in the theater started cracking up. And then the mixed couple sitting next to me, which was like a black dude and a white woman, they looked at each other kind of like confused. And kind of perplexed, like, what the fuck did they just watch? And what did they just hear? And it was funny. And that was, like, the greatest thing about the movie experience was that, more than anything else. That was just so funny. It's just like, it looked like they rethought their whole relationship, and everyone got a good laugh out of it. It was really funny. So I loved it. I loved it, though. Beginning to end, I loved it. It's something that I've thought about at times. Like, I've kind of dated the spectrum for the most part. So, like, I don't really stick to any specific race when I date anyone. So. It's something I've always considered. It's something I've always thought about. I'm not going in the middle of nowhere, period. Like, I can be dating a white girl, and she's like, my family is upstate and so-and-so. I'd be like, they need to come visit us in New York. I'm not about to come out in the middle of nowhere and, like, kick it with y'all for, like, a weekend. Like, unless it's, like, I'm going to have mad contacts on reserve. Like, yo, if I was checking in 8 hours, call somebody. Like, I'm gonna pretty much have, like, 9 rods on deck just in case something happened to me, because otherwise I just wouldn't feel comfortable. So the movie definitely hit all that on the head for me.
No, for real. I mean, I always tell Kendall this, because, you know, me and my man are, like, still looking for places to live. And I was like, I told him, I looked straight in his face, and I was like, we're not moving to the suburbs. I don't care how nice it is. I don't care how quiet it is. I don't know how my brother, who's visibly black, like, I don't know how he does it. And he lives between two, like, Cheeto members, like, Cheeto people who follow Cheeto. And I'm like, how do you do it? I can't. I'll be out. I'm like, no, I'm done. Like, I've seen The Purge. I've seen all that stuff. We don't last. We don't last with that stuff. We're the first to go.
Always, unfortunately.
So what were some of your favorite moments? Like, we'll start with the guests. What were some of your favorite moments?
Of course, Rod. Because Rod was just great. And then, you know, I got a bunch of Rods on deck. All my friends are Rods. Because first of all, in the group chat, literally all of us have our location shared at all times. It's a thing where... Like, if I don't know, if Kat, like, literally if Kat goes out of state and she's supposed to be coming home on Sunday, I'd be checking in on Sunday to see how far she's gotten. Did she get here? Is she on par to come home on time? Do I need to call hit the siren button? Do I need to sound the alarm? Like, we literally have locations. Mm-hmm. And it's not like one or two friends. It's like a set of six of us. We have our location. I'm going somewhere. Make sure I get home, y'all, because especially as a woman,
come on,
any you get snatched the fuck up. Like, I don't, So without even going far away, it's a thing of I was right here and I'm not right here. Anybody heard from me? They need to know where I was last. So I just feel like, why they got the black man? Y'all need to get safety. Black men, if you're listening, share your location with a friend. We care about you. We don't want you to get snatched up and accosted on the street. Because, you know, a lot of times black men be like, I'm cool, man. You not cool.
You're not.
And then, like, they put themselves in situations like you went to this house by yourself. You already wasn't comfortable. You knew she didn't tell them that you was black. You knew what you was getting into after, like, literally three conversations. Okay? So even when you already got there, you should have been sharing a location. I don't know why he had no portable charger, because I would have had the portable charger. But Rod was a great time. The what is the maid's name?
Georgina.
I loved Georgina's performances, because she just sitting there like she's not doing nothing. She's menacing. The way she moves, like it's like she's wearing the. She looks like she's wearing the skin, like she's putting the skin on as a costume.
Yeah.
And that's what it is, because she's in a mirror. Like I'm have a mask on. Look at my face.
Yes.
And then when the way she talks. Oh, my things. And then even went down to the fact when she didn't recognize certain AAVE, or you don't understand, like you snitching. Like, what that mean? What you mean you don't know what that mean? See, I'm calling Kalamala right now. I'm calling the police right now, because something not good with you. You too young looking to not know what that means and to look like me. Because certain things are just going to send an alarm, because black people have a cadence to the way they speak. We all don't sound the same. We don't. But we recognize certain language. We recognize certain lingo, usually as, you know, American black people. Like there's a baseline of things that a lot of us know or can get with, because that's the culture. No matter where you're from, you know what snitching is, from New York to Louisiana to Texas to Cali. You know what that means, you know, or just, if you get jumped, you know what that means from any of those states. Like we know what certain words mean, but if you go and say that to someone who's not familiar with the culture, they're gonna make it known that they're an outsider. You can't just infiltrate into black culture. That's, you have to live that experience. And that's why it looks like they're wearing the skin, her and Walter. Because when he was running, I was waiting on that scene, him running towards him, and then at the last second turning, shook.
Hey, poor Walter. That's all I got. My favorite part. Right.
Yeah, I agree.
My favorite part was one. Realizing how terrible of a human Rose is, because honestly, when we pulled up to the movie the first time I watched it, soon as the screen came on me, there's something wrong with that bitch. Something wrong with that bitch. I don't like her face. I don't like how she seems to be. Yeah, I'm about to hang out with my family and it's gonna be good. Like, go say you're a black man. I'm like, bitch, yes. I don't understand. Like, what? Your lack of awareness is disgusting. And I'm tired. So realizing how much of a villain she is, I was scared, but also excited at how much her character had, like, how fast and how much her character had evolved and switched up on Chris and everybody else. My favorite parts are always, like, random your shit. And then my favorite part was with Chris, him realizing how much, how fucked of a situation actually was in. I know that's like, girl, what kind of shit is that? But like, yes, I felt for him. I was extremely concerned. I'm scared. But even though I'm being attacked with all these microaggressions and in your face shit, I literally am scared. I'm truly concerned for this character. And I'm excited to have that feeling while watching a movie, because we watch horror movies all the fucking time. So to bring some sort of emotion out of me, I like that. I like feeling scared. I like being upset. I like feeling something. Because a lot of these movies, I'm just sitting here and I'm like, well, that was a movie. Some people might be scared. Some people might feel something. And that doesn't take away from anything else. But for me, and that's before Girl That's Scary, like, I've seen so much of this shit. Like, I'm just like, all right, bet. Cool. Y'all got a love story?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, on to the next one.
Right. I might be entertained. I'm not. But I'm legitimately scared. Like, say woke, truly.
And that's true, because like a few times with horror movies, you're very like empathetic with like the protagonist. You know, for example, Scream. You feel for Sydney Prescott. You want her to be, you know, survive and everything the same with Halloween. But that's the thing, like, it's really rare when you get that, because sometimes you're just like, okay, you're just asking for it because you're just doing all bunch of stupid shit. Like, you asked for this, you know. And then for this, Yeah, like you're seeing someone that is not only the situation is relatable, the situation is something that many people have gone through, still gone through, and it's super scary. It really is. It's super, super scary.
Send help.
Yeah, that should. All I could help but see was honestly myself throughout watching the movie. The villain, I mean, like the protagonist is a brother, so it's like. Like you ladies pointed out, like dudes a lot of the times aren't like, yo, I'm not really worried about getting from A to B. Like, I'm good. I'll be fine. Like, I'll text you when I get there, whatever. So, and I think that's like another part of the added fear is like, you know, as a guy, you feel like you could either punch your way out of a lot of situations. Like 9 out of 10 times, you're like, yo, if they came at me, I already know. I grab the stick. I do this. I get Bruce Lee on them. Like, you start coming up with scenarios in your mind of how you're going to get in and out of situations. As a guy, you're like, I'm good. I'll punch my way out of it. And you know, and this wasn't a situation he can necessarily punch his way out of. And it's kind of funny that they even set it up in a way where he couldn't punch his way out of it. Like, cause you know, clearly you got this white woman bringing home a black dude. And from like all of the different, photos they showed of her victims, it's like she had a range of different types of black dudes, like big dudes bigger than Chris, dudes who look smaller than Chris. Like she was going through the spectrum. So it wasn't like, they were even really just targeting like the most vulnerable type of black dude. They were just like, yo, just bring him home. We can figure it out. Like the hypnosis got him on deck. We ain't even got to worry about this strength. We good. So that's like really, really, really terrifying as a dude to be put in that kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm. Once you're in that scenario and it happens all the way through, there's nothing they can do because there's no body. There's mm-hmm. no body. You're not dead. You're compared to, you know, to them, you are alive and walking around. So like when Rod took the shit to, I need to not call her Regine. No, her not Regine.
Ma'am.
Not Regine. Regine is the one with the wig.
Detective LaToya, but yeah. I know you
Maxine
talk about
Shaw, attorney at law. She was in the jail, like, listen, she laughed at his face because he's right there, girl. He's not missing. He didn't got him a white woman and went somewhere, but that's not the case. Because how are you supposed to convince somebody that, hello, someone is actually trapped in there and there's a white man walking around in a black meat suit? Like, bruh, what do you mean? How am I supposed to tell Jesus that?
You don't. You hope he plays your VHS tape back.
Good truth. Point. I don't think anybody in the universe will believe a story like that. But Jackie, what's some of your favorite scenes?
That's hard. That's like really hard. Probably just yeah, the whole situation with Rod. Because Rod, like, he basically knew before you knew. He basically said the whole plot. He was just like, don't go into her house because, you know, white people turn people into sex slaves or some type of slaves and mind control. He knew before we all knew, and I'm just like, you know what? He just set the plot. He just set the whole plot before it happened, and then he kept telling him this is gonna happen. And then when the whole situation with Andre, the first guy who went missing, who's now Logan, he saw the picture and he was just like, no, you gotta leave. You gotta get out of here. Like, that guy's been missing. I don't know why he's acting that way. That's some brainwashed stuff. You need to leave now. So it's just like he knew before anybody else knew.
Yeah, he did. And honestly, you can make an argument that he's right about the sex slave stuff, because why else would she really want Logan? What him to be- well, what he became was Logan, but like this young dude with this old ass white woman, like, come on, there's a huge age gap. Like, that just looked strange in general. That looks strange anywhere outside of their community. That would just look strange. Like, this dude is significantly younger than you. You got to be keeping him around just for sex.
I just would have thought that young man was trying to secure the bag, and I applaud him for rising to the top and getting to the coin.
City boys,
get your money. I support it. Everybody need their cash.
Yeah, we on top.
Period. But no, you're right. Like, it just, but it, even when he's, you know, just talking that real quick, when he's at the function and she does make a comment, like, there are comments made about the sexual stamina of black men, and I'm just holding my nose or how strong they are, how whatever. And I'm like, please stop fetishizing us. I'm just so pissed. Like, everything about the movie makes you like, I'm so excited, but I want to punch everyone, please.
The whole party. Because the lady literally goes, like, yeah. Look at Rose. Is it true? Bitch!
Back up, ho.
Yeah, they were wildin'. I don't know how Rose, well, obviously she was down with the plot, but even then, I feel like Chris should have sniffed some of that shit out, because from the jump, like, if I'm dating a girl and she's like, oh yeah, my parents don't know you black, and we know that being black could be an issue, I'd have been like, you're gonna have to call your parents right now and talk to them before we even get in the car. I'm not about to waste a trip get up there and then find out something I don't want to find out. And then be like, well, I guess I'm going home. Like, I ain't about to do a lot. You about to call your parents right now. We're going to have a long talk about this shit beforehand. Because she was like, I don't know. Why would it be a big deal? Like, she was like trying to be like semi-woke. Where she would just be like, it shouldn't be a problem. It should be fine. And don't you think I would have told you? But I'm also like, how often would that come up in conversation with your parents? Like, unless your parents were some crazy extreme racist that were just screaming like, yo, don't bring home no niggas or something wild like that. Like, you wouldn't really know. And like, especially since this movie doesn't even actually feature anybody really saying nigga, like no white people really screaming blatantly crazy. Like, they're talking to the people that they're talking to in this movie for the most part are like liberal democratic type people, you know, people who say they would vote for Obama, which are the people who were the last people who would usually say that word, because they think that's the form of evil. That's the evil, the word itself, not their actions. So I would have been cut the rope with her. I'd have been like, you wildin', like, I can't deal with you. Her screaming at that cop, I'd have been like, yep, take me home, lady. He was like, nah, that's you, you defending me, that's awesome. And I'd have been like, nah, you taking me home. You nearly got me killed. Like, you can't be screaming at cops. You cannot be screaming at cops. He ain't gonna shoot you, he gonna shoot me. Like, you wildin'.
With that, it definitely felt like she was so overreaching. Like, you can't ask him for this. You can't do this. That's not right. And blah, 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 blah. And we've seen that in real life. We've seen that with people who always claim, oh, I'm an ally. I stand for this. I'm for this cause. But then they'll be so extra and reaching that even people in the community are just like, okay, you're reaching. If we don't see that as offensive, but you do, that's a you problem. We don't think that way. You just overreaching. And it's just like, girl, like, can you calm down? Like, and yeah, because like, you could see his face, he was so uncomfortable that he didn't want to say anything about it, but you could tell like his body language, his facial expression, he was just like, no, it's fine, it's fine. It's just like, no, tell the truth. Like, you were kind of like, what's going on? I feel kind of unpleasant here. And it's just like, oh my god. But yeah, like, back to like what we mentioned before with like the microaggression, her father, when they first met and they're like, oh, so how long has this thing been going along? I'm just like, oh my god.
Red flags everywhere. It was a red flag when she was going off on the Fed, because she didn't take 2 seconds to realize, okay, once again, you're showing your privilege. You can go off on the police, but because you're going off on the police, they're gonna spray me down. Then you back to the statement where you had pointed out about, like, you know, how exactly you, with the whole discussion of her family knowing that he was black. I was just like, she ain't show him no picture. I mean, to us, because at this point in the movie, we just think it's something regular. Yeah. So I'm like, you didn't show him a picture. I'm not a white woman. So let's start there. But I'm not a white woman, and I have not been in a situation where I have to go home in that kind of, so I can't say I can relate to that. But from the outside looking in and knowing historically what that's, I mean, we all know what the fuck that looks like historically, especially when you date outside of your own immediate community, especially when it's like that. We know what the historical context is. I just really feel like, why, obviously, but why is Chris so lax about
this? And it was a setup.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, you should be concerned that she has never shown him no picture of you. That you riding up in the woods, you in the cut, you barely ain't got no service. She's up here yelling at the police, and you still supposed to go to their house. The daddy talking about something, he would have voted for Obama 50,000 times. How long has this thing been? Bitch, I'm going to the car. It reminds me of that Twitter story of that dude that went to his family house.
He got to eat outside the car.
He was in a bar, you know, his wife, his partner is Caucasian, and the family was being wild racist at dinner. And instead of him divorcing her and the whole family, he decided to go to his car, open up the Twitter, and tell everybody on Twitter that he's sitting in the car because the family was being racist. If y'all ain't seen it, it usually come up on the timeline around Thanksgiving every year. Because every year he come back because he's still with the family. And I'm like, why? So you okay with this?
That's crazy.
Also, the real thing is, like, he's blinded by pussy. Like, I don't.
And the box is the
thing. Like, people be doing real dangerous stunts for pussy. And that's why people be getting set up. They be going to hotel room, women they don't really know like that. Oh, it's 4 months. And I've never met someone's parents after 4 months of dating. That's just habit. And I mean, maybe, you know, some people move a little faster. That's on them. But you don't know them. You're going out into nowhere. You're setting yourself up. Do you love yourself?
I mean, men do it all the time without leaving their house, girl. They always invite somebody back knowing their pocket's about to get ran up.
This yeah, you be giving people your address and shit. And I'm like, now these people know where you live at. Like, dude.
That's what I'm saying. That's the danger that dudes in particular put themselves in, because we feel like we could fight our way out of it. And 9 out of 10 times, like, yo, what this girl gonna do to me? She ain't gonna do nothing, you know. Mm-mm. And it's like, dude, I don't know if you dudes. I think dudes forget that, but then it's like, women are clever. They ain't trying to just punch their way out of stuff. They do all kinds of stuff. If somebody's trying to get you anywhere, they'll do all kinds of stuff to get you. It don't require a left hook. It could be slipping something in a drink. It could be anything. Like, you know, guys forget that though. Guys get blinded by the woman and they forget that sometimes.
It's real.
Clearly, he forgot that in this situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely true, because, like, when stuff started happening slowly, even Rose was just like, how can you be so relaxed? You're so relaxed. And he just was like,
send help.
He was trying to do his best to stay calm in a dangerous situation, that's all.
Yeah.
He was too cool for school. He was just that cool, chill dude.
She did?
But she does this. Like, she know who to choose. She know who to choose. She gonna pick somebody. Even your friend or two, you gonna get. She got cool with, because even Rod had called her and she was like, "He's not here. He left." Ooh, what are you talking about, Rod? She kind of set herself up to pull up on Rod next, and thinking that Rod gonna also be blind about a pussy. But Rod is like, "Ooh, girl, this white pussy is dangerous. I'm sorry, it is. It's fucking dangerous, because all it take is a white tear. That's all it take.
And you're gone.
And you're gone. You're a shadow." They gonna put your ass on a t-shirt. Like,
right.
you know, and I just, it, you know, it's like, okay, that's how it is, but that's fucked up. Like, you don't like the way somebody doing something, because at the end, she did all that shit to him. He went to choke her because her ass won't dead, and she saw the cop car talk about some help me. Help, bitch, fuck you. Help me. You the one came home, you brought the gun out here, love.
Using that privilege.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
She was fully ready to use everything she could to get away with the crime. And she would have, too. She wasn't for those meddling kids. She got away with it for sure. She definitely would have got away with it. Because, yeah, that family had it. That's a crazy setup, yo, to think they pulled him out in the middle of nowhere. A part of me was wondering while watching it, was if she targets people with small social circles. Because Chris, outside of Rod, we don't really know who else he really hangs with. Like, and even, like, a lot of the people... It seemed like a lot of, like, word of mouth in terms of relationships, because, like, even when he mentioned, you know, Lakeith Stanfield's character, I think his name was Andre, when, like, he mentioned him and he showed the photo to Rod, Rod was like, yo, remember that? Yeah, he was like, remember that so-and-so? He was dating so-and-so. It was, like, mad, like, third-hand, of, like, how they kind of knew him. It wasn't, like, a close thing, but Chris was just like, oh, yeah, I knew I've seen him before. So it kind of makes you wonder if she's targeting people with, like, really small mm-hmm. social circles as well, so it's not as noticeable when they go missing.
I see the vision.
Yeah,
I truly do. And even, like, down to, you know what really grinded my gears? Not about the movie itself, but just me not catching it. In the very beginning, when Andre is walking through the burbs, he's like, the suburb, that shit takes me down every time.
Suburbs.
But when he's on the phone, I did not clock until later. Like, it's not obvious, but, you know, him being on the phone at one point, it's not, you know, put it out there, but he had to be on the phone with Rose. Because why the hell else is Rose's brother growing up?
Most likely.
Mm-hmm.
Like, told Connor, baby. And I was thinking, like, damn, she be running through these people quick, boy. Good Lord. Taking them out one by one.
Yeah. Because it's only been 6 months since he went missing, according to the report. It's only been 6 months. And she's been with Chris before.
Five. Because she said five.
I mean, she kind of jumped.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. She said five. So that's even less. Yeah. So that means there was like a month between when that dude got snatched and when she started dating Chris. So she'd be on the go.
Reset. Reload.
Mm-mm.
She a hunter for real. She ain't playing.
Working quick. But that's a really, like, when you think about in terms of, like, villains and people who always do the bad shit in movies, I like that. Especially, like, I know I'm kind of mm-hmm. jumping ahead when we talked about you have the camera pan out in her room and it's her, and we're realizing, okay, this family is really, like, really terrible. And she's sitting crisscross applesauce in the bed, and the cereal when the milk is separated. And I'm just like, ma'am, not what you have in the shrine in the background, the shrine in the cubbyhole in the corner. And now you sit up here separating the cereal from the milk. Come on now.
As you look up black people and like, look at him. Look at this person.
You Google it.
Go to hell.
I'm sick.
Yeah, that's her full-time thing. She loved that. It's crazy. It's really crazy how that family kind of moves. It's just fucking insane. I couldn't even imagine something like that existing.
Yeah, I think that scene I forgot, but I think that scene was kind of like improv in a way, because like Jordan Peele was just like, hey, I got this idea for a really creepy scene. And the actress was just like, yeah, what is it? He was like, I want you to sit, eat the cereal, and drink the milk separately. And she was just like, the fuck, but okay. And he was just like, I want it to be creepy. And historically, you can take that as a metaphor as well. The way she separated, you know, the Fruit Loops from the milk. You know, the Fruit Loops is very colorful. The milk is very plain and white. And that was such a big metaphor. And I'm just like, fucking Jordan Peele, man. Thought of everything.
Take a bit of color, but you got to wash it down with the whiteness.
There you go. Yeah, he was really in his bag on this one. This movie is something else. You know, I would like, just like looking at it, it's something I always think about every time I revisit the film, because I think now this was like my fourth time seeing the movie. I always think about Georgina and like her story, because she seemed to be the only girl in the bunch out of all the photos that Chris went through. She seemed to be the only woman that Rose has targeted. And I'm of course, that's the grandmother, which I don't know if that's a part of the reason that she was the only woman chosen, because it was like the grandmother was maybe an urgent member they needed to fix. But I would really be interested in that story, like what the hell happened there. There had to be something going on there.
I agree. I too am interested in it. And you know what? She's the only woman for now. Because if they were trying to secure a body for everybody in the family, that means eventually somebody gonna have to pull up and get a body for mama.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sick. It made me sad. Because you know, I guess they said like that was her friend. So I'm assuming like, did she also have some sort of relationship with her too? You know, trying to create that backstory, or was it just a friendship? And then if that's supposed to be your friend, like Georgina, girl, whoever Georgina's real name is, I couldn't remember, but girl, where are your friends? Who gonna be her ass?
It could have went any kind of way, because I'm thinking of, I don't know if y'all seen High Tension.
Oh my god.
It's on Tubi for free. But it's a French movie. It's a French extreme movie. And I'm thinking of how the girl, they were friends, and you about to study and you go to your parents' house. You know, you make friends and they cool. I don't know if they were in a relationship, because they look like they could have been in a relationship, or they could have been, ooh, we buddy buddy. Oh, let's hang out. We can go on a boat. We can go fishing. You ain't never coming back, bitch. You ain't making your nail appointment. Nothing. You're stuck in grandma Meemaw body now. She's stuck in your body. And she's getting off on how good you look. Real unfortunate.
But to go back to Georgina, she was also kind of the first one that you saw that how she was kind of snapping out of the sunken place. Because like when they first sit outside and she's pouring the tea down, and you know, she goes up to Chris, and then all of a sudden she's dazed and she's just like confused, like, how am I? Where am I? And she's like, oh, I'm sorry. Oh, woe me. And you know, the mom is just like, oh, I think you need a rest. And I feel like that was her cue. I feel like that's like a key word for certain people, because she's the same thing with Logan, you know, Andrew, when she was like, oh, I just think he needs to rest. You know, I feel like that's the way to help them stay in control of them when they're in a second place. But it was the first time we saw it. You know, at the beginning, you're just like, what the hell's going on? But then watching it again and again, and you finally see, like, no, she's snapping out of it. So they're kind of she's losing control of this body. Because, you know, whoever the real person is that Georgina's taking over, she's just like, no, I need to get out of here. Like, I need to escape. And then we saw it again when Chris confronted her about the whole, you know, oh, I'm not going to snitch on you. You know, just try to plug the charger back on my phone. And you see her crying, freaking out. And then she's like, no. And
that's one of the creepiest things I've seen in my
life. It really was. But power to her, because it's hard to cry on cue. And power to her for doing that, like, at that second. So, but yeah, it was the first time we see, before the flash, you know, with Andrew waking up. That was the first time we saw it, of someone waking out of the sunken place, you know, before we even knew what that was.
And I also feel like, of course, the rest is the key word, like, hey, you know, you lose the control of your meat suit, bitch. You need to charge it up. But I think certain keywords, because they were talking about the grandmother and how we wanted to keep, you know, the grandma in there. And she probably, the girl in the sunken place is like, bitch, the grandma not even in here. It's me. Let me out. So I'm just like, oh, it's like she's stuck in room 1408 for her whole life body. Yo.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah, I was wondering a few things about that. Actually, one of our listeners actually had a funny comment about it, which I remember Melissa, she came on for our feminism episode. She was saying, well, of course she loved the movie, but she was like, it has so many insights about chimes. She was like, chimes representing chi and energy. She's like, and being used to keep Georgina within her body is a perversion of chime symbolism. Being used to keep evil spirits away to heal and promote joy. Being inversed by Missy. She's like, it's very weird. She's like, perhaps it's just a comment on racism as a whole, but or just a corrupt spirit. And I was thinking about that when I was watching. I was like, chimes. Like, you do hear a few, like, chime noises kind of throughout. And I was like, I didn't notice it too much until she mentioned it. But I was like, maybe that's what the connection was. Or maybe a part of her being near Chris is, I don't know, maybe it's getting her in touch with her, like, spirit, her blackness. And that's because it seemed like it only really kept, like, having relapses whenever she was near Chris in particular. So, like, maybe that was a part of it, too.
Yeah.
It's, like, really, I'm curious. I'm really curious how that kind of works fully. I know Jordan Peele said he wrote up, like, a whole lore and everything on how, like, this society works. He calls them, like, the Red Alchemist Society and stuff like that. He's like, he has, like, a whole lore written up, and it's supposed to be based off of, like, the, I think he said the Templar Knights. So he wrote, like, a whole fantasy of, like, how long they've been around, like, them having a goal of, like, immortality and all that stuff. And, like, he wrote up a crazy, crazy universe. He needs to release this information somewhere. I don't know if it's all on a DVD, but that just sounds really interesting. Yeah, they're supposed to be they're supposed to be the descendants of, like, the Knights Templar, which was, like, a group seeking, like, some of the world's most precious treasures and stuff. So it was, like, really interesting. He would use them as, like, the villain for this movie.
I mean, yeah. And then going back to what you said about, you know, with Melissa was saying that, I love Melissa, she's so amazing. It goes back to how Chris felt when he saw Andrew. You know, he was just like, oh, it's good to see another brother here, blah, blah. And he was just like, oh, he's happy to see another one of me. And that could probably be why Georgina was having that sensation, because, I mean, she's in this body. You know, she's trapped inside, surrounded by, like, this very white, pristine mom, this very white, pristine husband, you know, the crazy crackhead brother, and you know, the psycho, you know, the psycho daughter. So I'm sure seeing Chris, someone who's not trapped somewhere, who's not stuck somewhere, she's seeing that as in, is this my way out? Is he gonna notice? Is he gonna see it? And it's just like, it's so sad, especially at the ending, because like, they all kind of wanted to die at the end, like her and even Walter when he came to, you know, when he put the flash at Walter at the end, like they all were just like, I think they said it, but probably not, but they had that, the whole like notion of like, you have to kill me, like I can't live like this anymore.
Yeah.
He was like, take me to the king.
Yeah, he basically gave Chris like a mental nod, like, you know, the nod. He gave him like a mental one and was like, I'm checking out, brother. And then just took, after he shot her, but took himself out. He was like, I ain't dealing with this one. And tell you the truth, I don't blame him. It's almost a happy ending compared to the existence that he had.
I would have been like, yeah, take me to Jesus. He'll understand. He'll understand this time, because they got me in the sunken place, bro. And I got to get out of here. And I feel like there's a way to reverse it, but probably not while these people dead. Not all the people do the operations. They gone. You can't, you know, the hypnotist lady, she gone. The surgery people, they dead. They gone. You can't, you stuck here. And he's like, I'm not living like this. Freedom.
Right. Because, I mean, we don't see the exact process. We see like a snippet of it. And what I got to just, what the fuck? They put his brain in his body? Like, what the hell? So, or a piece of his brain or whatever. I mean, they tell us, but we don't see it. And so what if every procedure didn't necessarily look the same? Like, what if some procedures were more extreme other, thus people feel like not only one, whatever happened off screen, like what kind of things that they had to go through before they got kind of like 100% immersed in the grandparents' body, like what if they were assaulted, like anything could have happened to him for him to feel like I'd rather die than continue to live my life like this. And that's scary as shit. That the whole thing is just fucking sick. And the fact that like they would have just continued this on for however long it would have went on, so they could just live their lives through black people.
As soon as I would have got control of my body, I would have walked myself right off
the
third
story. Everybody down.
No, I'm jumping off the balcony, bitch. You can't get my body no more. Woo! They thought they was dreaming. Yeah. They wake up and they are on the ground. Ha ha ha! I win.
I would have took the whole
family. And it was, they were like choosing black people for such petty fucking reasons. Like even when the blind dude was talking about it, and he was like, oh, I'm not like the other ones. But honestly, he is like the other ones. He was just like, I want to see what you see. And I'm like, that goes beyond art. You talking about you want to see the world through the eyes of a black person. Like, that's an entirely different point of view. That's that you are exactly what the other people are. You just want to experience it firsthand. I was like, in the case of all the other people who decided to switch, whether it was the grandfather going into Walter, because what did he say? He the grandfather's whole big shining moment was the fact that he lost to Jesse Owens in the qualifying match. And he kind of never let it go. So now that he has a black body, the reason why he was running around like that was to kind of see if he can beat that time. And I'm like, that's crazy. That's insane. Like, that's such a petty ass reason to be like, you know what? Let me body swap. Like, what the fuck? Like, one dude at the party was talking about how he knew Tiger Woods. Like, people just had such petty fucking reasons. Had nothing to do with actually being black.
Listen, I'm like, no, fucker, I don't even play golf. Like, what are you talking about? And a lot of the stuff is stupid because you're trying to mask that racism. You're trying to mask it and turn it into something else. I'm not racist. I just want this. But you're only using black people because they're disposable to you, and you're going to wear them as a meat suit. Mm-hmm. And you think they're physically better, but your brain would be better in this physical body. So you're going to bring them two together. So now you're the elite person. Also, with the eye thing, the eye shit don't work if you don't have Chris Brain in there, bitch. Dummy. You got him in the sunken space. You going to see this stuff, but you don't have his mind. What you see with your eyes, your mind has to create that image. You have to know what to do. And the things he was shooting, like when you looked at the pictures, they were black. Like, it was a black pregnant belly of like a pit bull on a chain. And, you know,
that man didn't go around no pit bulls.
Also, the dude was explaining it like, oh, they're so brutal. I'm like, that ain't even brutal. It's a pregnant baby. How is that? Like, it's a pregnant belly. How is that brutal? Like, you know, I don't really understand why you are describing it that way. Or maybe the way the white assistant was describing it to the blind man. But either way, you don't even have a real idea of what his art looks like, honestly, because you've never really seen it. And you only know it through description. And like I said, it's ultimately like work that's black. You're going through the hood just taking these pictures. And it's not really brutal. It's just real or raw. Those are the better words to use.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can't make that. You can't recreate that. I don't give a fuck who eyes you got.
Watch your eyes, man.
You can have 15 eyes. You can't do what he do because you're not him.
Period. Truly. Mm-hmm. Right? It just, everything about me wanted to slap him in the face. Like, really? So now you in his brain, all of a sudden your fucking eyes work. Your pictures are still ugly. We're still not liking your pictures, bitch. You're wasting everyone's time. You really could just give it up to God and find a new fucking hobby. Maybe you could just, you know, I don't know, tell stories or something. But you ain't gotta do this.
Finger paint.
Hello? There is an option for you.
Sculpture.
Not I'm about to kidnap or aid in the kidnapping of a black man so I could just be the black man. Because clearly I want to be like, oh my God, have my ass beat by the police. Like, you didn't even think that far. Like, that's the real thing. Like, I'm like, you want this, but what all come with it? Because now you're riding around in your suburb, and anybody that's not up on your shit is going to think you're just another black person in this neighborhood. So now you're ass beat. So where do we go?
I hope you get shot.
Like, where do we go?
Well, that's, yeah. You know, you saying that just embodies, like, you know, rest in peace, Paul Mooney, one of the greatest. He always said, everybody want to be a nigga, but nobody want to be a nigga.
For
anybody who didn't understand that, He said in those exact words, and he meant exactly what it sounded like. Everybody wants to cool. Everybody wants to dance. Everybody wants the TikTok dances, and everybody want to pop a lock and get the likes and get the follows. But nobody wants to deal with like the reality out when the camera ain't on. The reality when you have to just walk regular shit, like walking down the street. So like, and that's pretty. And I think in a way you could kind of say, well, Jordan Peele mentioned it in the commentary as well, that that's a part of it. Like, people want the seasoning and the spice of like. And being not white, like being black and being like everyone else, but they don't want the soul of it. But in reality, the creativity comes from the soul of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we could do an experiment in all body swap in this room. I'm sure the way you guys would do my profession and the way I would do yours would be drastically different just based on who we are. Me and Jackie are both artists, but I'm sure our ways of creating and our ways of thinking about creativity are entirely different. That's the soul. That's not just like the vessel. Not to try to sound spiritual and get into the holy gloss and nothing like that, but that's what it is.
And it goes back to like what we've seen in real life. You see girls who are getting extra tans to look very like, you know, that the deep melanin in their skin, like, look at my skin, or getting the whole like braids and stuff, like, and they're like, oh, it's like you want to wear the fashion, you want to wear the aesthetics, you want to be all about, I want to be, you know, culture. It's like, no, you just like it because it looks good on you. But then say someone else does it, it's just like, oh, that looks bad, looks bad. I mean, a prime example is, what is it, like years ago, Zendaya, she came to an award show with dreadlocks. Someone else did that, a white person. They're like, oh my God, so fashion be great. But then when Zendaya did it, people were just like, oh, she probably smells bad. She probably does this. It's just like, what is wrong with you? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? And it...
Yeah, because it's for a certain hair type. I'm sorry, y'all. Like, you can do it if you want to, but it wasn't meant for that. But I guess.
Whatever, man.
It's your hair.
You like it, I love it.
Yeah, it's your hair. Same thing with, like, nails. Like, we wear nails, and everybody want to get acrylics. And I've been wearing nails since I was, like, what, 14, 15 years old. I've been wearing nails for a long time. Back when they had a gel paint, you had to sit there and wait for the polish to manually dry for 35 minutes, and you better not touch shit after you leave that shop. Because you're going to put a dent in your polish, and then that's dead. So it's just like, we doing all that. Now you want BS. You want boxer braids, bitch.
Oh, my God.
Girl.
Boxer braids, hoe?
Girl. Or you wearing everything we wearing, you tanning up, blackfishing and shit. Like, there are accounts, more than one, where the person is a non-black person, but they done tan, got surgery, Photoshop, put the braids in, got the nails, and pretending to be old black. There's a few of these white rapper women, and maybe white rapper women, who be saying the N-word and be acting like you black or you mix or something. You don't get to do that.
Or even you're a Latin person. Like, you're Latin pretending to be a Latin person. I'm like, but that's not you, baby. Like, I don't understand.
And that happens.
Be yourself.
Even in Aliens, that character is brown face. They are not Latinx. That's a white woman with brown. Yes, that is not a Latinx woman. That is a white woman. That is a white woman with brown paint on.
Hold on, which character in Aliens you talking about?
Aliens with the S. What's her name? The lady, the girl, you know who I talk about.
That's all right. I got Google right here.
Yeah, go ahead and pull up. But like, and that wasn't that long ago. That was the 80s. Like, they were doing brown face in a big ass blockbuster movie.
I mean, they did blackface in Pootie Tang. So
you are right.
Let's go.
That is
awesome. Even further. Yeah.
Louis C.K. wrote that though. So,
you know,
and that's the sentence.
He's fucking
that's
problematic.
That's it. That's the sentence.
But
I love that movie, but yeah.
It's problematic. But I do love it. I just use Pootie Tang for that. You know, they want to do what we do because we look great. We look great on paper, but then when you go out into the world and you experience, well, they don't experience, but they would never want to trade places in real life. Wait till you got to apply that loan and you got to put what your race is on it. Wait till you apply for that business loan. Wait till you trying to get your mortgage, get a house, move to a neighborhood. Wait till you trying to adopt somebody. Wait till you at the job interview and they see what the fuck your name is. Wait till you get in the store to run a hair store. You know all the hair stores I go to. There's not a lot of black owned ones in my neighborhood. When they start following you around and shit. And like, what, you need some help? You need some help? You need some help? All the fucking eyelashes locked up and shit.
Leave your bags at the door when you come in the store.
Come in here, bitch. I have a Red Bull in a bag. I'm not taking your stuff. I'm not a thief, girl. Leave me alone. This shit is cheap anyway. Like, anyway, okay. Yeah, they don't want to experience none of the negative, but they want to pull all the good and just be like, yeah.
I just want to run fast.
Also, there was a book, I don't know, I didn't read it all the way, but it was called What Stuff White People Like. And one of the things that white people like was learning about other people's cultures. Never their own shit. Let me learn about Indian culture so I can wear their garbs and I can put this bindi on my head. No, you cannot. Please stop. Stop doing this stuff. You cannot open a fucking book and hang around a few people and get to do what we do. That's not how it works. It's just not how it works. Stay in your lane. But white people are not used to being excluded from anything. So when they feel like they're excluded from anything, it's not fair. Why can't I do this? And you can do it. So I just don't understand. And that's how they sound. And because I'm like, y'all exclude us from stuff all the time. Silently. Do it silently.
Girl, silently, loudly.
Silently, loudly. But you do it. You exclude us all the time. But then when you can't do it, it should be for everyone. No, our shit should be for everyone, but your shit is closed off. I see you.
Right. It's like TikTok right now. I don't be on
TikTok.
Girl,
the black TikTokers said we ain't dancing. Them white TikTokers over there trying to dance. Let me tell you, I don't have TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's looking bad.
I've been following that
stuff. Done put it on the TL and they're actively stealing from black people. And like I said, if y'all listen, you know, I don't want to be the preacher, you know, but you know, you see this happening. That so you there's things you can do right now. When you see all these white people doing dance, don't like their dance. Go look for the originator. That's something you can do. That's something that's not too out of hand because the system fucked up. But you can go promote these black people. You can go support these pages. You can like skip right over to people who are copying. You can do these things. These are not out of your reach. So it's just small stuff like that. Paying attention to the culture and see is who's getting looked over. And instead of like, ooh, I'm going to put your culture on and benefit from it. Push people to the front,
period. Yeah,
who are actually a part of the culture, who is authentic. Y'all, like, they just all wearing masks. Mm-hmm. They all wearing masks like Georgina. They got the skin suits on. You just wearing masks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
And to go.
Yeah, Jack.
Now, I was going to say, to go back to what you lady said, the father even told Chris when they were walking, he was like, yeah, I've had the privilege to explore other cultures. Because he was showing him all, like, I forgot what he said. Not his trophies.
It was like different treasures.
Souvenirs. Collected. Yeah, like, look at my souvenirs. And that was such a metaphor as well, because, I mean, they're souvenirs. You know? The body of Georgine is a souvenir. The body of Walter is a souvenir. Chris is going to be a souvenir. Like, it's just... And people do say that, like, oh, look what I got. Look at this culture. And then... I know recently when people started doing the whole, like, 1-2-3 DNA crap, and they were like, well, I found out I'm 3% or 30% of this, so I can do that. It's like, no.
Are you white? Look at your arms. No. Let's do that.
Because then it starts really breaking down.
Look down.
Oh, thanks. And, like, come on.
Because it's not just about ancestry. It's also about what you look like. If you are...
Unfortunate.
Yeah, because, yeah, you can have black everything, but if you are white present, you look white and white presented, you can get away with being white in a space. You have bigger privileges. Because you can pretend. Okay, I can't pretend. Okay, I'm light-skinned, but I am brown.
Yeah, they call it passing for a reason.
Also, that was Private Vasquez and Alien. So, if y'all, you know, interested, if you want to go look a clip up on YouTube, that woman who they have, who is slightly browner, when you go, that woman's last name is Goldstein.
Yep, the character's name is Jeanette Goldstein.
Yeah, she is not. She's not.
Just say woke.
She says she is. And, you know... She probably was trying to pay bills, but also that's another thing. Like, if you have something, they're telling you wear blackface, or they're telling you we're gonna tan you 4 different color, or we're gonna have you do this, that, and the third. You gotta start saying no. Some of y'all gotta start be like, you know what? That's not okay. Yeah, you know, because you are in the position to be like, you know what? If everybody say that's not okay, eventually they're gonna be like, you know what? Maybe we can't do this. Instead of replace it, oh, somebody gonna do it. There should not be anyone willing to wear brown face. Especially in this big ass year that we have right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Also, there was a scene, you know, they hit a deer, and we know that bucks, you know, they refer to black men as bucks. And then, of course, that deer was on the side of the road, and he was reminded of his mom, so he already feeling real, you know, crazy about it. But when he got in the house, the dad was like, one dead, another good. And I was like, that's coded language.
Yeah.
That is coded language. He means black. Okay. You could switch that out with anything, because I'm like, oh, that's what they say about thugs, or they say about these kinds of black people, or instead of, oh, there's black people and there's niggas. No, they're not. We're all niggas in a coop. What you mean? Like, you're not special because you got some fucking suit on and you got a paper degree. That's not, you know, because I too have a paper degree. Guess who they still gonna shoot if I go outside acting crazy or wild or getting buck on the cops, or they think.
Yeah, that don't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't. None of that matters, you know. So I'm like, ooh, you can't, like, you hear people use different words and you want to exclude yourself. You gotta be reading between the lines, because he was definitely talking about you, Christopher.
Yeah, yes. For sure.
Yes, because that whole line, yeah, he was like, oh, 1 down, 100 left to go because they're taking over the world, you know? And
yeah,
a reflection of today, you know, people, and I remember, like, I had these conversations with my boyfriend, and we were just like, we don't understand why certain people, white people are so scared of being, because eventually we're gonna be one thing. You know, there's so much of us that we are kind of going to outrun them in a sense, because we keep blending in. We keep, you know, blending old stuff. So it's just like, what are you so scared of?
Because they think they're the best. They think they're pure. And when you mix it, now it's dirty. Also, we talk about white mediocrity often because they overlook people of color. And people of color, we've always been told you got to be twice as good, twice as good, work twice as hard to get a quarter of as much. So the thing is, you got all these mediocre white people who are in top positions and they should not be. I know a lot of people listening has had a boss, and you do better than them. You're smarter than them. You know how to do the job better, but they're in a CEO position or some kind of position. They don't know how to open a fucking spreadsheet. They don't know how to do the job for real, but nepotism. They knew somebody that knew somebody, and they were white and safe, and they were able to get the job. And you knowing how to do every single thing, but you're not a safe face, so they can't put you in certain positions. So they won't. They just won't. Or they assume that whatever job you're doing is not as good, although it is as good. They're just rating it harder because of who they are. So white mediocrity is going to die.
Yeah,
they
agree.
Get to like get because they be waking up and thinking they're doing a really good job. And then somebody of color comes in and shows them up, and they get in their fucking bag.
And, you know, if that's you, listen, hopefully it's not you. Hopefully you're not that kind of person. Yep. But also it means do better. It doesn't mean that people are taking your spot and doing things. That means you got to step your game up. This is the market now. You know, at first the market was just y'all mediocrity. Now other people are coming in the market and they work way harder. And their line of what they're going to present, because they already know they're at a disadvantage, is going to be better. You can't just slap together your PowerPoint 15 minutes beforehand, Tom. I'm sorry. You're going to have to proofread and throw some fucking effects in that bitch. I don't know. An active link or two. You might have to make a little quiz. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. That's definitely all a part of it. And I feel like even a tiny example of that you can kind of see in the film, which they don't harp on it much, but the interaction that Chris had with the dad when he first gets there, and, you know, he's giving him the tour. And then remember after he sees Walter and he sees Georgina and all of them, the dad goes, oh, I know this looks weird, right? It's a white family and it's pretty much like black servants. And Chris was like, that's not probably how I would word it. But yeah, I get what you mean. It does look weird. He's like, no, well, you know, they took care of my family. They took care of my grandmother and grandfather. And then, you know, when they passed, we didn't want them to be out of a job. So we kind of kept them in. And I thought to myself, you probably have all kinds of connections to different people. You could probably get them a better job. Like, they ain't got to be cleaners. You can probably get them another job. Yeah. Like, even if there was a cleaning job, they can probably be like, I don't know, the head of a department. Like, they don't have to do this. They can probably do something else. And I'm sure even Chris thought that on some level. You know, he was trying to play it cool. So he was just like, uh-huh, all right. But I'm sure he thought that too. Mm-hmm. Look at the kind of people that came to visit them. They had all types of access. Like, these people, first of all, actually on top of that, just thinking about it, what made me laugh was when they had the party and all the cars pulled up, everybody was in a black car. I was like, I know this is a celebration of your grandfather, but this looked like a cult. I would have been like, I got to leave, sir. I can't stay here. Like, everybody pulled up in a black car. Y'all all just got black cars for this party. I can't be here for this. This looked like a setup. This looked like a funeral. This is not a good look. But yeah, all the kind of people there, they obviously had more influence and they made a team. They could have got them, Georgina and Walter, a better job if, you know, they weren't doing this actual operation on the side.
Yeah. Also, even if they were working with your parents, first of all, they work with your parents, so that's more white people they're taking care of. Because you were there, your parents were there. So that it was still shaky back then. It's still shaky now. Okay? It's shaky either way. I know how this looks. So why the fuck are you doing it then? If you know how it looks. You know how it looks. Stop making excuses. And fix it. Like, because like you said, he just get him another job. He can hire some white people. I would like to see more white house cleaners. Thank you very much.
They can clean too. I just thought it was peculiar. Like, so send help, nigga. What the hell does that even mean? What is it? Like, you literally did all that. Because I know off camera, y'all been probably cutting up back in 1942. You was sick, Jesse Owens ran past your ass. And now all of a sudden, you done signed up to be fast and to help. Make it make sense.
You just happen to be in a working body and not in a rotting body because we're aging. We're aging every single day.
Okay, we could just die. Like,
they don't want to die. They want to be immortal. The Templars. Yeah,
the goal is immortality.
Yeah.
Templars are always on this pedestal. We're better than you. We're going to use the resources of your shit to build our shit kind of thing. So I'm like, this makes sense. This makes sense.
And then among the people who were there for the auction, there was that one Asian person too. And that also sparked a lot of conversations, but they're like, well, why is this person there? Why? And that goes back to also where Asian people are modeled as in the model citizen, you know, like in terms of like workforce, the top is white, the second is Asian, the third may be Latinx people, and then the last, of course, is black. Asian people have their privilege. Some, especially from the South, who are much darker, yes, they get ridiculed, they get teased, they get called, oh, you're this and that. But those who are more like white passing, they have so much privilege. They're the model workers, they're the model everything. And I love that he put that, and he was specific too. He was like, I want to have a Japanese actor. I want that for a reason. And Jordan Peele was specific in why he wanted that. And some people were confused about it, but it did go back to the whole like notion of like, well, they're the model actor, they're model people. And then when he was like, do you feel like you being black is an advantage or disadvantage? And that's a reflection on them as him as an Asian person. Because I'm sure there's some disadvantage of being, you know, an Asian person or Asian American. I know for them, they deal with racism even with themselves, with their own community. But that was definitely like a reflection of that. as well. And they also are very known for being very racist and classist as well. Even more so.
I think Jordan Peele even mentioned that he said part of the reason he added that actor too is just kind of show how far reaching the group was. That was a part of it to kind of make it seem like their influence kind of expands even kind of even beyond our borders or even outside of just like white social groups. He said that was a part of the intent.
Yeah, and anti-blackness is worldwide, so it makes plenty of sense. Just like you were saying, that racism, that anti-blackness exists in all the communities, even Latinx community, where they're like, oh, you don't have no Latinx people, but then it's Latinx people, but they're black, so they don't see them as Latinx, they see them as black. And I'm like, but they are Latinx, they're black Latinx people. So you could just have...
I immediately thought of Haiti and Dominican Republic and how you are all sitting on the island.
Yeah.
Like, I just...
Yeah. Remember this Dominican girl went off on me when I said she was black.
It happened.
You got so mad.
I'm not black.
He's the same shade as me. She got so mad.
You are Dominican and black.
You are both.
Love.
It's okay.
You are black. Your nationality is Dominican. You are from this country. But my love, look at your arms. It's what I say every time. Look down at your arms. Now look in the mirror. Now look at your mammy. Now look at your grandma. Now look at your daddy. No.
Slavery did a number on us, boys.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Law have mercy.
Look at the picture.
Transatlantic slave trade really just took us all out.
Everyone
shout out to the Europeans for fucking everybody's life up.
Yeah, everybody trying to distance themselves from black.
For real.
As far as you can go, they will distance themselves. Especially people, not only within that, but people who are mixed, they won't. They let it go. I am this and that. Okay? They want to throw that card. It'd be in a bio, goddamn. And I'm like, Lord, I just got here.
And it's okay to celebrate where you're coming from, but also just like, all right, friend. We know that's all I is. Got. Just okay, friend.
We know what it is when you're trying to distance yourself from the black. We get it. We get it. But you know, black is beautiful. You don't gotta shake it, especially when you want all the cool parts.
Yeah. Like my brother again, my brothers are visibly black and my niece and nephew are also like black, black, black. And I remember my niece told me once when she was in junior high school, some girl had asked her like, oh, so what are you? And she was just like, I'm black. And she was like, no, but aren't you Spanish? And she's like, yes, but I'm also black. And she was just so confused about that. Like, what? And I feel like there's so much like colorism in everything. Every community has that. And it's just like, and again, that's the reason why I love this movie so much, because like it's relatable for a lot of people. You know, and yeah, a lot of Latinx people, especially like Puerto Ricans, will deny their ass off and be like, no, I'm not that. I'm Puerto Rican. Like, bitch, you black. Like, get over it, okay? Or if they're white passing, just like, girl, you white. Like, no, I'm that. I'm like, girl, you look white, okay? Just get over it. And there are some parts of Puerto Rico where they remind you where you're from. They do not let you forget. They're like, no, you're this, this, and that. And a little bit of Spaniard, but that's because what they did to us. But majority of it is like, you're black and indigenous. That is it. And for this, again, like, I love that he put an Asian actor, like an Asian character in this film, because it spoke about that. And the spectrum, you know, because again, like, this movie caused a lot of conversations, not just with like black people, but also like a lot of people of color, where they were like, holy shit, I relate to that. Holy shit, that's real. And again, I love how Rod, like, people didn't believe Rod when he was like, they're turning them into slaves and kidnapping them, all this stuff. Like, it sounded funny in the film, but when we see the news every day, someone has gone missing, someone has been kidnapped. And then we see about like, oh, like their organs are missing or all this other stuff. And it's just like, no, this shit's real. You know, he turned a film based on reality, something that's really happening, a real problem that people don't want to talk about it because, and I mentioned this before when we did the feminist and horror, when they see people of color who are missing, primarily black people, oh, they're runaways.
Right.
They just run away. It's fine. They don't get an Amber Alert unless they're blonde and blue eyes. And it's such bullshit. And it's frustrating. It's just like, no, they deserve the same treatment. And I love how... I mean, when I went to the theater the second time, there were some white people and they were laughing at certain jokes. But it's like, do you really understand these jokes, though? Like, you're laughing at them, but do you fully understand them? You know, for people of color who watched it, we found it kind of amusing. But I feel like, I mean, I know Kendall has said it before, like, and it's true. We laugh through the pain. That's how we deal with it. You know, we turn something painful and traumatic as in, I'm just going to laugh it off because that's the only way I know how to handle this. That is the only way I know how to, like, deal with my trauma. You know, so it's like it may seem like we're laughing about it, but we're being triggered by it. By other people who are not, you know, people of color, like, oh, that's so funny. Oh my God. It's just like, yeah, but you don't understand it though. You don't get it. You know, you're just seeing it through another lens. And it's, again, like, that's, this is why, like, I love this fucking movie so much.
Yeah, for sure. You got, yeah, laughing through the pain is just a part of it. Like, everybody, every comedian mentions it, and, you know, most of them be depressed and stuff like that. And they even mention laughing through the pain is a big part of it. I remember I've even explained that to, like, this a friend of mine that's, like, white. I explained it to her before. I was just, like, mm-hmm. I remember we were talking about, specifically, we were talking about Solange, actually. Yeah, because it was, like, she went to Afropunk or something like that a few years ago, and we were talking about the song Cranes in the Sky, and I was like, oh, such a beautiful song. The album is so great. I was like, I actually really like the album. It's really good and all of that. And we were talking about the song. And she was just like, the song is so sad. And I was just like, yeah, but it's beautiful. Like, that's a part of how we express our sadness. Like, we can't just be depressed. It'll kill us. We have to let it out in some way. So whether it's artistic, whether it's mm-hmm. laughing at something that you know is ambiguous or something that's so crazy, that's just like a part of a coping mechanism. That's just how we deal with it. And it makes life easier. It makes life a little bit easier that way, because otherwise, you'll just explode at every given moment of crazy shit that you encounter. You'll just be flipping out and want to hurt somebody. So that's a part of it. That's, and yeah, they probably laughed at some stuff, but yeah, that as Jackie said, do they know what they laughing at? Like, do you know? Because they know how to feel when they know how to feel what they need to feel when they need to feel it. And I feel like a perfect example of that was at the end of the damn movie, yep. When the police car pulled them. When you see those lights, everybody in the theater went. And yeah, I remember even one lady screamed, oh my God. And I was like, yeah, so you get it. Like, you get it when you want to get it. Like, yeah, this movie only came out, what, 2016? Yeah, this movie came out 2016. It was like, you know, it was right there on the cusp.
2017.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like 2017. Sorry, yeah, 2017. So it was like right there on the cusp after, you know, after Obama left and people was finally recognizing racism again as a thing. It was like right around that time. And, you know, so people were kind of like, oh, I get it. Like, you know, we had all of these incidents of people being shot. So, like, I get it. So I was like, you get it when you want to get it. And everybody got it in that moment. So I know the movie kind of forced you to see things through the black person's eyes. But you know what these microaggressions are. You know what these problems are. You're seeing them do it to a character that you had to follow. And you're like, yo, that's fucked up. So you know what it is. It's just when you want to have selective memory, that's totally a different. That's on you. But you know what it is. People know how to improve when they want to improve.
Yeah, and I love that he kept the ending, the theatrical ending. I like that he kept that, because I remember that scene in theater. Everybody was just like, and then when Rod came out, everybody was like, oh my God, thank you, Jesus. Like, everyone's clapping, everyone's cheering, because you're just like, oh God, thank God it's Rod. And I know when you purchase a DVD or whatever, there's the alternate ending where, you know, Chris goes to jail.
Yeah.
And like Armin didn't know about that. And he had asked me, he was like, why would he make the alternate ending like that? And I was like, because he wants to spark conversation, because he wants to reflect on what's real. A whole bunch of times when, you know, crimes happen, black men and women are always sent to jail for like no fucking reason, for petty ass reason. And then they put the bail up extremely high at an unrealistic number that they know they cannot pay, their families cannot pay, and then just have to stay there until years later, and they'd be like, oh yeah, we found out you really didn't do it, so now you're free to go, and they're like, what, 30, 40 years old with mental issues now? And that's a reflection on reality. And I know he said that the reason why he also wanted to do it was to do a callback to what George R. R. Merrill did in Night of the Living Dead, when he had, you know, Dwayne being killed, because that was also at the time, and that was also the time when like Martin Luther King Jr. was mm-hmm. assassinated. He wanted to make people feel and be like, holy shit, how did that happen? To be like, well, it happened because it just happened yesterday. You know, it just happened the day before. It just happened last week. And I feel like, and I mentioned this before, like, I feel like if he would have kept that as a theatrical ending, forget about it. Everybody would have been talking about it. But like, oh my God, Kevin, you did that. Oh my God. And some people would be like, you know what? That's real. That's real life. You know, we hate it. It hurts us, but that shit's real life. You know, other people would just be like, oh my God, that was horrific. Clench my pearls. But everyone was just like, yeah, that's real. That's real, Susan. Like, that's real life.
Yeah, for sure. Like, how do you ladies feel about the ending? I guess it's one of the last things we chop up before we get out of here. How do y'all feel about the ending?
I like, honestly, given the nature of what the earth was kind of going through, or us as folk going through at the time, and we're still going through it, but how raw it was. I kind of appreciate that we got to see the Black person win, because I'm not going to hold you, like, if he would have went to prison, I mean, I would have been like, I knew he was going to prison. And I would have been a little disappointed that, I mean, it's reality. So I wouldn't have been that upset because it's real. It, you know, wouldn't shock me. But I kind of wanted to see us win. And I'm glad that, you know, we got the version that we got. I wish, because I have this? I don't. But I wish there was like a, hey, an alternate ending. We could have it on deck just in case. I do like that Jordan Peele made that last minute, that he made the last minute decision to switch everything around just so he would anger his audience. Because at the same time, like, your audience are Black and brown people. And we already know, you know, if you see the Black character losing the end, we're going, damn, again? Like, for real?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I definitely like, and you know, I usually go for the bleak ending. I actually needed that win. Because not for you to sit me, like, anytime if you're going to use race as the horror, if race, like, the horror wins, what did I watch this for? Because this is real life. It's too much real life. Like, damn, I already got to sit through the microaggressions and I got to get shot by the police too. Like, I don't want to see that. It's like, if you ever seen Queen and Slim, not going to talk about what happens throughout that film, but if you see it all the way through, you'll understand where I'm coming from. That's it. So if you watch it, you watch it. If you don't, you don't. But I liked the happy ending. And I think on the DVD, they do give you the alternate ending.
Okay.
So you can watch it. But why? Well, I don't want to watch it. I don't want to see that shit. I can look outside and see somebody getting hemmed up by the police.
Seriously.
So I don't really need to see nobody, no white woman cry and then get someone killed. I don't need to see that as an ending. I'm fully okay with that never happening. So I'm just going to rock with the happy ending. Although the other ending would have been the the gut wrench, because you can't argue with it. You can't argue with it. Because that's what would have happened. Straight up.
They wouldn't have arrested him. He would have died right on the spot.
Shot him.
That's actually what
would have happened.
As soon as she said, help me.
Definitely.
Then he would have hopped out the car and just sprayed the whole place down. And then would have been like, oh, that's not. Oh. He reached for his pocket.
Yeah.
Oh, no. So.
Yeah, 100%. I agree. I would like. I like the theater ending. I've said this before on this podcast, but like, if they had to win with the other ending, when he go to jail, I would have hated this movie. I wouldn't have recommended this shit to nobody. I'd have been like, it's a good movie up until the end. Like, it'd have been one of those, because I'm like, I ain't come here. Like, granted, I ain't know what I was getting into to begin with, because I ain't see the trailer beforehand. But I don't need to see a movie where, like, one of the few times we actually get like a Black lead in like a big distribution film. And I got to see the dude lose after he just been through all kinds of shit. Like, it's one thing. I feel like in most horror movies, a lot of the time, the L is the sequel, right? Like, you get Scream 1 through 19. So, like, she keep going through it. So, it's kind of like, ah, damn, like, she don't really win. It's because they keep making more movies. But she wins in the movie, and that's, like, fair enough. Like, and that's what I wanted to hear more than anything else. I didn't want him to kind of take that L here. That just would have sucked. Like, everybody already got the dramatic effect when the car pulled up. You ain't need to punch us twice. You already hit me the first time. We ain't need to hit me again. So, yeah, I would have fucking hated this movie if he had released that ending. I really would have. But I watched the ending. Like, it's all right. It's an okay ending. Like, having seen the other one, it's an all right ending. Like, Rod visits him in jail and they pretty much talk about the situation. And he's like, yo, I'm going to do anything I can to get you out. And he's just pretty much like, they ain't going to believe you. But. So it's like super, super bleak all across the board, but so I'm way happier with the other ending.
Admittingly, I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
So I kind of want to.
Neither I have see I.
Out of curiosity, but I know I'm probably gonna hate it.
You good?
Yeah.
For sure. Like, you don't need it, but yeah.
I haven't seen it. Because like when I was watching this movie, I saw it. I found it on Amazon Prime, and they give you two options. They give you the option to watch the original the way it is, and the one with the alternate ending. And I was just like. Yeah, I want to have a good day today. I want to have a good conversation. I don't want to come in here and be like, no, I hate this fucking movie. Like, I'm just like, no, I want to. No, because, I mean, Netflix did that with 69 Seconds. You know, it's a Netflix series, but they show that. They show you their actual ending of, like, some kid, some Black kid is killed and the cops get off. Never, no justice is done. And it's just like, it really does leave you with the whole, like, why would I sit down for this long movie when I could just watch the news?
Right.
You know, like, why do I have to do this? If I could just go on Twitter and see everyone posting, look at this, look at this, look at this, look at this. And for those asking, and I'm Freddy shows on to white people, we don't like watching that shit, so please don't send it to us. Don't bring it up to us and be like, so did you hear about this? Did you see about this? Like, we know about it. We watched it. We don't want to talk about it.
And not with you.
Leave us alone.
Not with you.
Yeah. Facts. 100%. I feel like what Jordan Peele probably would have got with that ending is a teachable moment for white people, but just a reality check for us. And considering that we were the audience, I would say, the most excited for his movie, it would have sucked for us. It probably would have been great for other people because, you know, whenever these tragedies happen, those are the moments that people rediscover racism and go, oh, cool, like, wow, this is, like, really a teachable moment. It's like, somebody doesn't need to die for you to learn a lesson. You could just, like, learn a lesson.
Say it again.
Open a book. Be empathetic.
Yeah. And exactly. And I mentioned this before when we covered Spiral, you know, like an interracial, you know, gay couple. I was just like, it's not our job to teach you. It's not our job to send you Google links. It's not our job to explain this to you. It's not our job to show you slides. It's not our job to show you, like, spreadsheets. That is your job. That is your job to do. You want to be an ally? You want to help? You search that shit up. That's not our job. Okay? We're not Ask Susan. We're not Ask none of that. Like, no, that's not our job. Like, no.
Oh, the Ask Jeeves. Oh, my God.
Not Ask Jeeves.
Could you imagine?
That was exactly what you were going
for. And
Jeeves
ain't no shit, bro.
You're going to be tired in the Jeeves. How can I be a better ally?
Zero results. Because Jeeves don't know a goddamn thing.
Jeeves don't know. He's trying to figure it out, too. But it's all right.
He'd be like the picking up, like, well, Steve, like, well, sir, this is the search I found for you.
Exactly what would happen. He's drinking tea and shit. But thank you for listening, guys. Thank you, guests, for coming. Please tell everybody where they can find y'all. Tell everybody about your podcast one more time, because y'all should listen. They funny. I love their show. It gives me a good listen.
Thank you so much for your kind words.
Yes, and evidence. I'm so excited. Yeah.
And if you want to pull up on us, you can pull up on us at Girl That's Scary on Instagram, Twitter, pretty much everything, www.girlthatscary.com. Our Patreon is www.patreon.com/girlthatscary for the bonus shenanigans, stuff like that.
Cutting up.
And yeah, moving forward, we are going to have small breaks, but it's not going to be a break in the actual episode. Yeah. So, like, you might have to go to Patreon, but we'll work it out. Just go to Patreon because there is free content. Like, you don't have to pay for a tier to get everything.
But if you want to, you can. You know, open your purse, support Black women. Also, it
help the bag.
Exactly. But, you know, we ain't rich. Just let you know. But also, it just helps us and it helps the podcast and it helps us, you know, to be able to bring more great content you guys enjoy. And that's ultimately it. And supporting us, we very much appreciate all the support. And like you said, we appreciate you guys having us.
I know, we were excited. We're like, yay!
Yeah, I'm always hyped for us to get guests on here. It's always fun. It's always fun. So, Jackie, I'll let you finish it off. You can leave all your compliments and take us out.
I pretty much said everything. Again, we're not your fucking teachers. Look your shit up, okay? That's not our job. Go to MSN. Go to Google. Go to, I don't know, Bling, whatever the hell you use. Firefox, whatever. Fucking use it. And with that, I will end it with, ooh-wee-oo, ghost goodbye.